Hello, everyone. Welcome to Making the Biblical Text Meaningful to Life, a platform on which difficult biblical texts are discussed. Your teachers are Dr. Liberty and Dr. Robert So. Hey, Rob, are you there?
I am here.
Please pray for us.
My pleasure. Our Heavenly Father, we just come before you this evening.
Yes, Lord.
To study your word. Father, you have so much to teach us. All we have to do is to sit down and to dig into your word and to listen to you, Father, to your spirit. Lord, just continue to move through us to teach your truth, Father, this evening as we discuss David and his wives and what it means to have a biblical marriage.
Mm-hmm.
And reflect upon his marriages and if they were cultural or biblical.
Mm.
So help us to discern between the two and to set our minds and our eyes upon you, Father.
Mm.
For you are the promise keeper. And Lord, we look to your truth and to your word to restore us and to save us, Father. Thank you so much for your sacrifice.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you.
For Christ's sacrifice of his blood for our lives, Father. In his name we pray.
Amen.
Amen.
Thank you. Thank you, Rob. For those of you who with us, we want you to do one or two things for us. Please keep everything quiet around you. All right, because this teaching is live, radio, phone, TV. Just keep it quiet, and we all can focus on the teaching. All right, and for those who are with us by way of computers, you can use the chat while the teaching is on. If you have any questions or any questions, you can just use the chat and we'll get back to you later on. For those who are with us by phone, you please take down this number. So during the course of your teaching, when you get a question to ask, all right, just go to this, call this number and leave the questions and we're going to get back to you. And the number is 561-406-9853. However, at the end of the teaching, we are going to unmute everyone and so that you will have the opportunity to ask questions, okay? Or make comment, whatever the Lord put on your heart to do, to ask questions or to make a comment at the end. Just hang out with us. At the end of the teaching, you will do that. All right, so, okay, let me just read our text for today. We are still on David, okay? Now, pick up your Bible. This is a Bible study. So, and I'm reading from 2 Samuel chapter 3, beginning at verse 2. Sons were born to David in Hebron. His firstborn was Amnon, the son of Ahinoam of Jezreel. His second, Keleah, the son of Abigail, the widow of Nabal of Carmel. The third, Absalom, the son of Michai, daughter of Tamar, king of Gusha. The fourth, Adonijah, the son of Haggith. The fifth, Shephatiah, the son of Abital. And the sixth, Athrim, the son of David's wife, Eglah. These were born to David in Hebron. What we're going to study tonight is we will be looking at some of the wives of David. We have no details about that in scripture. We'll be looking at his wives, his other wives, and their children. And so, what we want to do first aid to give you a recap of what we did last week. Last week we talk about David, that the God brought judgment upon David. And the main thing, please go back to that video. The reason why we took our own time to discuss that in depth, we want people to understand that God is a just God. Many people feel that because David is a man after God's own heart, probably the thing he did in his life regarding Uriah's wife, many people may feel, oh yeah, well, you know, David walked away with that. But because God is what? He's a just God. He brought punishment upon David for killing that innocent man and taking his wife. And all of David's life, when he did that, David had a lot of issues in his family. And some of the things we discussed, hey, Rob, can you type some of the things we discussed last week? Because we're just recapping. So many things. Let's wrap up. Yes. Give us some of the things that we talk about.
So we see David as the leader of a nation and the leader of his household. Mm-hmm. Yet, as he acquired wives, some of them were not necessarily by noble means. Mm. So in the case of Bathsheba, he had relations with her while she was still married, then sent her husband off to die in battle. Now, we then see problems within his household with his children. And this was foretold as his sin was brought out by the prophet and said that the sword would not depart from your house.
Yes.
And so his children rebelled. We had it began with Amnon, who raped his sister Tamar. And David didn't do anything.
Hmm.
So then Absalom, in his anger, plotted and schemed and then killed Amnon. And then he left. And of course, David didn't do anything about this as well.
Mm-hmm.
And what's interesting is many, many years passed between each of these events. Then Absalom came back at his father's request, and then eventually began building his own audience, building mm-hmm. up his own empire, and rebelled against his father.
Mm-hmm.
Only to meet his demise in the battle. So we see this perpetual turmoil within David's household.
Yes.
And so we have to go back and we have to look at how did this come about? What was happening? Because as scripture said, David was a man after God's own heart.
Mm-hmm.
And if that's the case, why is there this suffering? Why are these events happening? What's going on? And so that's what we have been looking into last week and in these recent studies.
Thank you.
And what we want to investigate further tonight.
Good. Thank you. Thank you, Rob. You got it. See, David did not just walk away with the thing, the evil he did. All right? He killed Uriah. I mean, masterminded his killing in war and took his wife. Then the prophet came and rebuked him. I mean, the prophet did it, you know. It was he did it in a way that David himself passed the judgment. He told him a good story about what is going on in his kingdom, how somebody was what the person did. And David said, if anybody, and that man is supposed to die. And guess what Nathan said to him, you are the man. But David's life, his life was spared. But the sword did not depart from his house because of killing Uriah and taking his wife. Even the very firstborn of Bathsheba, David fasted for 7 days and the child still died. And from there, and what Rahab said, so many things went on in the life of David, even at the time when he was very old, almost at the point of death, the situation continues. And we discussed those things last week. So now what we're going to look at this week, though, is that in this study, we will look at David's wives, his concubines, and children. And then that we will look at quite the other wives that we don't have record. There's no detail in scripture to explain how David married to them, whether he paid whether it's a real wedding or how he did it. There's no record of it. And all these things we will consider tonight, all right? Okay, the first thing that we will be looking at is we will give you a summary of the one we know, okay? The wives that we have record about in scripture. We just summarize it because we've been discussing about them, so we cannot go too deep into those, all right? But here what's going to happen. Here, David's first wife was who? Michal, the daughter of Saul. And we all know that from our study, go back to that video, Saul asked for 100 foreskins of the Philistines as his bride price. And David gave him 200. So 200 persons had to die for David to have a wife. And unfortunately, they didn't have no children at all. So then we see that the other wife we know about is Abigail, the wife of Nabal. What we know about is that Nabal did something. He disrespected David and talked all kinds of evil things about David when he was having a party. And then God struck him. The scripture says God struck him for that. And when he died, David only sent his men to Abigail to ask her to be his wife. And then she agreed. There's nothing like bride price or dowry paid. So we know of that. All right. Now, the third person that we know that we have no record about is Bathsheba. And we just talked about that in our summary. The wife of Uriah. There's no bride price involved. Rob, what did David do when he heard that Uriah had died, and what did he do about to get his wife home? I love the way you put it the last time.
First Uriah, he called Uriah from the front.
Yeah.
And was trying to get Uriah to go back to his house, since he knew that Bathsheba was pregnant mm-hmm. with a son, but Uriah wouldn't. So then, of course, he sent him to the fiercest fighting to do battle. And then, of course, Uriah passed in that fight. And so... You know, the sad thing in all this, too, is he gave Uriah his own death sentence, had him carry his letter to the captain of the army, which instructed Joab to send him to the heaviest fighting. Hmm. And it's interesting because we see Uriah being obedient. He came when he was summoned. He carried his own death sentence, unbeknownst to him. And he sacrifices himself. We don't see him rebelling anywhere in this, other than when David told him to go back to his wife, which he knew culturally was not appropriate. Here they're at battle. That was not appropriate for the soldiers to go back home and be in comfort when the nation is at war.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas we see David being disobedient to God's law, taking multiple wives, staying behind when he was supposed to be there. At battle, enjoying in the luxuries, but we see he's not content because he's pacing on the rooftop when he sees Bathsheba. And so that presents a bit of a problem for him. But we we see too that he learns of Uriah's death,
mm-hmm.
and as soon as the morning has passed, after she has finished mourning for the loss of her husband, David fetches her to come to his house and takes her as wife. And of course, she bears the son that she was pregnant with,
mm-hmm.
who died after 7 days. And in 2 Samuel chapter 11,
mm-hmm.
verse 27, it says, "But the thing that David had done displeased the Lord."
Yes.
So he was trying to hide it, but God knew what was going on. He's omniscient. And I'm missing. You cannot hide it from him.
Mm-hmm.
And so the prophet Nathan came and confronted David with this sin.
Right.
And it came out. And David repented. But this is when he was told that that there would always be trouble in his house for this. Thus saith the Lord, "Behold, I will raise up evil against thee out of thine own house, and I will take thy wives before thine eyes, and give them unto thy neighbor, and he shall lie with thy wives in the sight of this son."
Mm.
So there's a harsh penalty that happens. Mm. And immediately, his son passes, and the problems begin. And this isn't in a couple years span. This is for the rest of his life. He's still fairly young at this time. It's estimated that when he married Bathsheba, he was in his mid-30s.
Okay.
And he lived another, he reigned for 33 years in Jerusalem. So he lived to his late 60s or early 70s. So this is a long time
that
all these events are occurring.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. You nailed it. Okay. Now, Bathsheba, the wife of Uriah died. And David just called her home, but she was pregnant. But that child died. David fasted for 7 days, yet God said no, the child will not live. However, Bathsheba and David have five children. But what is recorded in scripture is four. Why? Because according to the Jewish law, according to the Jewish law, a child is to be circumcised or named on the eighth day. So when the first child of Bathsheba was born, so they didn't name the child. Because on the eighth day, that's when the child would have been named. But because they didn't name the child name is not recorded in scripture. But the other children that Bathsheba and David had, their names are here. Let me call them right now. One is Shimua. The second one is Shoba. The third one is Nathan. And the fourth, Solomon, who became king over all Israel for many years. So actually, they have five children, but because that child was not named, the name of the firstborn was not recorded in scripture. And David and Bathsheba have four other children. All right. So now let's turn to, now we get to know the wives for which we have a little detail in scripture. But let's come to David other weddings that we have no detail in scripture at all. We don't know. It's only mentioned. Or the name just mentioned David's wife. So we don't know exactly how he got these women. Okay, let's begin with the first one, Ahinoam of Jezreel. Now, when you look at 1 Samuel 25:43, what you found there was when David ran away from Saul and he was on the run, it was when he took Ahinoam of Jezreel, but we do not know whether there was any real wedding or bride price paid. Nothing is recorded in scripture. How do we know? When Abigail went It is when it was recorded in scripture that when Abigail got to in the home of David, she met Ahinoam as one of the as a wife of David. So they became two while David was on the run. David had Ahinoam, which is the second wife, and then Abigail. We can find that in 1 Samuel 25:43. No record. We don't know. No bride price. Maybe he did, but we just do not know. It's not written, so we can't make that up. All right. They have one son, and this was the firstborn of David. His name is Amnon. The firstborn of David was held by with Ahinoam of Jezreel. David's first son was with this woman. Let us not forget that. Okay, he was the one that Absalom killed for raping their sister Tamar. And that was the punishment of David because of what he did, killing Uriah and taking his wife. So you can go back to that. But they have one son. And we have no record about his wedding. The only thing we know is he's David's wife. How he became David's wife, whether David paid any bride price or to whom, nothing is recorded. But they have a son. David's first son was Amnon. He is the one that Absalom killed. All right. The second person in scripture that married to David, but we don't have no record, was Maacah, the daughter of Tamar, king of Gusha. You see that in 2 Samuel 3:2. That's a king's daughter. I'm very sure there was some wedding that went on, some celebration or thing, but it was not in scripture. So since we don't know about it, we can't say anything how David married to her. We don't know. But one thing scripture said that David married to this lady. And this lady, Maacah, have one son for David, and that son name is who? Absalom. This is Absalom that caused major trouble for his father. The first thing he did, he killed his big brother for raping their sister. It was the first thing he did. And when he did that, he ran away and went to his grandfather. So when he came back, then he rebelled against his father. That we listened to our last week video, you will find the detail in there. The second woman that David married to, but we have no record of that woman or whether any bride price were paid, we do not know. It was Haggith. We don't know where she's from, but we just got a name. All right. Haggith had one son for David. And this child was the fourth son of David. His name is Adonijah. You can read that in 2 Samuel 3:4. He's the fourth son of David. And this one, David had a major problem. Adonijah, when Amnon died and Absalom died, he took, this kingdom is supposed to come to me. So at the time when David was about to die, he proclaimed himself to be king before David changed the whole thing around. And Solomon took over. Now, Solomon killed that brother of his to secure his throne. And if you want to know the details of that, go back to part 7 last week. We explained everything in there. The other wife is Abita. No record of a bride price. We don't have a record. Okay, but they have a child. And that child name is Shaphetia. You can find that in 2 Samuel 3:4. David's other wife, Eglah, no record. The only thing we know is the scripture said this is the wife of David, Eglah. But how he married to the woman, what it did, no record, as I've said, but they have a child. And this child named Ethan. And you can find that in 2 Samuel 3, 5. Now, what we find here is that David had 8 wives and 10 concubines. Erod.
Yes.
Yeah. What do you say? I mean, this is great.
So yeah, this brings up several questions.
Okay.
One, is this biblical or is this cultural?
It's cultural.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And we see today, as I was reflecting on this, I went back, and if we look at David's life and divide it into periods, mm-hmm. you know, we see when he was young, when he was a shepherd and first defeated Goliath, mm-hmm. and he acquires his first wife, Michal. You know, he's still very young. So that's one period in his life. And when this happened, you know, he was 15, roughly around 15 years of age,
uh-huh.
when he's anointed by Samuel. And then in his late teens, he defeats Goliath. And it's in this period as well, when he's in his late teens or early 20s, that he acquires this wife, and then ultimately gets banished from Saul's court. Yet Saul makes him a leader and a commander within his army, over 1,000.
Mm-hmm.
And then in his late 20s, he goes to Ziklag. And so he's fleeing from Saul. And this is where he picks up Abigail and Ahinoam.
Mm.
So he picks up two wives. So he started with one. Now he's got two. So he starts out becoming anointed. And everything's looking favorable. Now it's not so favorable. And he's on the run. He picks up two wives. And then as he gets into his 30s, he becomes king of Judah, and he makes Hebron mm-hmm. His capital, and he reigns there for 7.5 years.
Mm.
And while he's there, he picks up 4 wives.
Mm.
So now he has 7 wives up to this point. And as he gets into his mid-30s, he becomes king of all of Israel. And he makes Jerusalem the capital as he recaptures it.
Mm.
And he reigns there for 33 years. And this is where he meets Bathsheba and also makes him her wife. And so he reigns during this period. And when he gets into his late 60s or early 70s is when he passes. So we can kind of see these different periods in David's life. And there are different periods in his walk as well. So when he battled Goliath, you know, there was no fear or cowering, or he knew what God said and knew that God was superior, and he went out and won, you know, victoriously. Did the impossible. And he also recognized Saul's authority. Mm-hmm. And so he fled. He knew it was not his time. And so he was obedient to God and what he was doing.
Mm-hmm.
However, we see him acquiring these wives. And as we pointed out, some of these were from other kings. So one was King Saul's daughter.
Mm-hmm.
And so Saul was looking to make David a part of his family, to
mm-hmm.
Enlarge his territory, if you will, his power, by doing this, because he thought David was gaining popularity, and he initially believed he was an asset. But then, you know, he became jealous and envious and saw David as a threat to his throne. And then as David went into other territories, some of the other kings also granted their daughters to him
right.
as well. And so, which was a cultural practice in that area. So we see these cultural practices and we see this happening. Now, did it affect David's walk with God? Well, we saw what happened with Bathsheba.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he knew what was right, yet he he continued down that path. He had multiple opportunities to walk away.
He
continued to stare and to watch. Then he thought about it. Then he sent to find out her name. Then he sent for her, and then he slept with her while she was still married.
Mm-hmm.
So we see this all the way through. And then those are just his wives. Now, as 1 Chronicles 3:9 says, he also had the sons that we just went through. Those were the sons by his wives.
Mm-hmm.
And in this verse it says, these were all the sons of David, besides the sons of the concubines and Tamar, the sister. So there's apparently other sons that we don't know about by these concubines. So he has somewhere over 20 kids.
Yeah.
From these wives and concubines.
Yes.
So it's very interesting and a lot that we can learn from it. So here we see a strong cultural influence.
Mm-hmm.
And so we need to take note as to the effects of this and how it affected his household.
That's true. Thank you. Great. Now, this you got it. Now, when you look at 2 Samuel 15:16, and let me just read that quote. The king set out with his entire household following him, but he left 10 concubines to take care of the palace. This is when Absalom rebelled against his father, and then he was on his way to come and capture the palace and kill his father. And the father and his men ran away. But the text said David left 10 of his concubines to take care of the palace. Now, we don't know. We know from our previous studies that concubines are considered to be wives for the persons. And we found that with the patriarchs. And the same thing is coming up with the kings. The same problem happened with Abraham. Abraham had Hagar. That was an issue. Then Jacob. The same thing happened with them. But he had 10 concubines, 10 other wives besides the 8. And the whole thing here is that why so many wives? Do you have a thought about this? I know it's cultural, but why? Why so many wives? See, it's cultural. Now, one thing I know within my own culture, when before the coming of Christianity in our culture, the more wives a man has, the more respect he has within the community. They say, oh, this man is a great man. He got so many wives. So the more wives you have, you are considered a great man. You are considered a man very rich because you got so many wives. And even there is an ethnic group in Liberia where we have several churches. It was very strong in our culture that if you have but one or two or three wives, your friend will joke you that you're not a man. You're just a simple person. But you get four wives, you get six wives, you get seven wives. Oh man, you are the wonderful person, highly respected within that culture. So back then, I think something of this kind, the more powerful you were, the more women you had to keep. So to show to the people of the world that you have power, that was in my own culture too. So, but the point here is that we're talking about tonight is that David got the extra wives. How, we don't know exactly. Were they probably male servants to the wives and little became his concubines or wives? Like in the case of Abraham and Jacob, I don't know. Probably, but maybe not. So these are areas, and the point that we're trying to make here tonight is that David the king of Israel had eight wives. We know a few of them, how he married to them. But the rest, we don't know the how, whether there was any bride price paid, or whatever he did to get this will, we don't know. Whether the concubines were more, but only 10, because he left 10 to the palace. Maybe there were more, we don't know. We don't know, because he left 10, you see, but he left 10 concubines to take care of the palace. Maybe there were more than 10, I don't know, but why we got the text say 10? There could be more, all right? So, now, we look at the whole life of David. What we found, David had 11 children by his 8 wives. Well, the firstborn of Bathsheba is not included because the child was not named. So scripture did not pick up that, the name of that child. So if we add that one, then it would be 12. But what the scripture, what we have in scripture is 11. 11 children by his 8 wives, and probably the 10 other children, he had about 21 children. All right. The 10 other children may have been with some of his concubines, as far as we know. So, you know, it's a great study to see. What we're trying to look at here is that with all that David was doing, creating problems, killing Uriah for his wife, and God is coming in with the punishment here and there. And I love the way Rob answered a question that was asked on last week. I love the way you answered. You know, God is the promise keeper. He does what he wants to do. Hey, Rob, do you have any thought?
Yeah, so absolutely, God is the promise keeper, and we must remember that. You know, it is very easy to get caught up in culture.
Yeah.
And to get sidetracked. This is why it is so important for us to spend time in the Word, to spend time in prayer, and listening to the Holy Spirit.
Okay.
And to His instruction. This is why it's so important to root out the cultural myths that we're taught. There's so many things that society tells us, and even in our own churches, that we may hear and may seem right,
mm-hmm.
But we need to take everything to the Scripture and to weigh it accordingly. And so, you know, we see David getting caught up in what was cultural.
Mm-hmm.
And we see that he and his household suffered for this. So his sin with Bathsheba, though he tried to hide it, it came out into the public, and all of his household suffered mm-hmm. the consequences of it. And in fact, his life was threatened by his own son many years later.
Hmm.
So we have to be aware of these things. We cannot hide them, and we need to repent and turn from them and seek after God and after what is a biblical and a holy marriage, rightly aligning ourselves with the Scripture and seeking to lead our households as God has instructed. So that's what we must focus on in this. And remember that even despite all this, and this is where we have hope, is that David was counted righteous and was called a man after God's own heart by Scripture.
Mm-hmm.
So even though he fell short,
right, God, he had all the problems.
Promise, yeah, God honored the covenant and found him worthy. You know, and so we must not lose sight of that. So
yes,
we have great hope in this.
Yes. Okay, thank you. For those of you that are with us tonight, let me unmute everyone. If you have a question that you want to ask, or if you have a comment you want to make, you are welcome. Whatever, those of you that are with us tonight.
Good evening. This is Bishop York. I'm just taking a moment to say thank you for a presentation tonight.
Thank you.
Very informative. And enjoyable. So thank you for the effort, brothers. Peace and blessings to all of you.
Thank you, Bishop. And we're glad that you're with us tonight. We appreciate that. Anyone else? Any question or any comment you want to make? The bishop just made a comment, and if you have a question, please feel free to ask it. Okay. Go back and read it, and listen to part 8, okay? And then part 9 will be out. But hey, if you have any questions, please. All right. Now, we are asking you to do something. If you are watching this video on YouTube, leave us a comment. Just give us some information. What you think about this video? There is thumbs up and thumbs down on YouTube. Hit the button with your choice. We want to get some information from you. If you are also watching it on our website, there is a section for comment. Please leave us a comment. That will help us to know what to do. Tell us what you think about it, about our teaching. All right, and so we want to thank you tonight for joining us. Hey, come by next week, 8 o'clock, and God bless you. All right. Hey, Bishop, you're with us tonight again. Please pray for us.
All right, now, Father, we just thank you for this time of fellowship together in your word. God, we thank you that we can come together and study your truth and get revelation and get strength from what we have already seen in history and what we've already seen in your biblical principles. We thank you for our teachers tonight. We ask that you bless each one and that you continue to increase them in knowledge and wisdom. We thank you that their hearts are towards helping your people and teaching the people your ways. And we ask that you continue to bless the work of their hands, each one. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, everybody. Hey, next week, invite somebody, 8 p.m. Now, we will conclude David. We're coming to the conclusion of David next week. So, hey, it's going to be a great time. Come back, invite someone. Thank you. God bless you. Bye-bye.